ABC News, I'm Mark Remillard. Former President Trump entering a not guilty plea as he was arraigned in a Washington, D.C. federal courtroom on charges over his attempts to overturn his 2020 election loss.
The former president was released on his own recognizance. He was told he must not violate any federal or state laws. While he's released, he must appear in court as required. And there's one other condition, that he must not communicate about the facts of the case with anyone that the former president knows to be a witness unless he's in the presence of an attorney. And it might be difficult for the former president to adhere to that. He may be on a debate stage with former Vice President Mike Pence.
ABC's Aaron Katursky. A federal appeals court allowing a rule restricting asylum at the southern border to temporarily stay in place. Both Tennessee Representatives Justin Pearson and Justin Jones, who were expelled from the state house earlier this year, have fully reclaimed their seats in special elections. This is ABC News. A potential fire risk has Hyundai and Kia recalling tens of thousands of vehicles. ABC's Alex Stone with details.
Over 91,000 Hyundai and Kia vehicles are being recalled because damaged electrical components can cause the electric oil pump to overheat, leading to a fire. The Kia recall impacts certain 2023 to 2024 Kia Seltos, Soul, and Sportages. The Hyundai recall involves certain newer model Palisades, Tucson, Sonatas, Elantras, and Konas. Owners are being told to park their vehicles outside, away from any structures, until repairs are completed. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Texas A&M University has reached a $1 million settlement with a black journalism professor whose hiring was sabotaged amid public outcry. The school agreed to pay former New York Times editor Kathleen McElroy and issued an apology. The university had welcomed her in June, but her hiring was met with backlash over her past work to promote diversity in newsrooms. Mark Remillard, ABC News.
1 in 4 car batteries is weak and needs to be replaced. Let our professional parts people test your battery for free at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Get ready, country fans, because Tyler Farr is coming to heat up the summer on August 11th at Ho-Chunk Amy Nakusha.
Whiskey in the Water.
With hit singles such as Redneck Crazy,
Whiskey in My Water,
and his brand new single, Rednecks Like Me. Tickets will be on sale June 30th by calling Ho-Chunk Amy Nakusha or by visiting the Rewards Club booth. Then, because fun has no age limit, we'll be opening our concert up to everyone. Enjoy a perfect summer night with food trucks and music, and mark your calendars for fun this summer with Tyler Farr at Ho-Chunk Amy Nakusha.
Get ready, country fans, because Tyler Farr is coming to heat up the summer on August 11th at Ho-Chunk Amy Nakusha.
Whiskey in the Water.
With hit singles such as Redneck Crazy,
Whiskey in My Water,
and his brand new single, Rednecks Like Me. Tickets will be on sale June 30th by calling Ho-Chunk Amy Nakusha or by visiting the Rewards Club booth. Then, because fun has no age limit, we'll be opening our concert up to everyone. Enjoy a perfect summer night with food trucks and music, and mark your calendars for fun this summer with Tyler Farr at Ho-Chunk Amy Nakusha.
If you care about animals or crops, you probably care how the weather could impact both.
It's summer in Wisconsin, and the success of your efforts often depends on knowing the forecast. Count on your local Civic Media weather team for all the information you need.
Crops roots are also growing deeper in search for water, which is bad news, because when rain finally falls, it will sit shallow and be absorbed in the top layers of the soil.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the app.
Did you know the Wisconsin State Fair is 172 years old? It still celebrates the industries important to our state's history, like agriculture. But every year, new attractions and items are added. This year, there's more than 100 new foods to try. So what do you think topped the culinary list last year? Flamin' hot Cheetos chicken on a stick? Deep-fried old-fashioned? Or Pino pretzel popper brat? The answer's coming up. The Wisconsin State Fair didn't start in its current home of West Alice. The first was in Janesville along the Rock River, then moved to different locations the next 40 years. The original cream puff has been around almost as long. Close to 400,000 are gobbled up every year. So which food was number one last year? It was the Pino pretzel popper brat. It came out on top. The State Fair is a true slice of Wisconsin, and it runs through August 13th. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
All right, folks, let's get started. Parents,
Thanks for coming. As many of you know, I'm Coach Mather. Tonight I want to talk about the season, of which I only have one expectation, that everybody gets stronger. When I say get stronger, I'm not referring solely to physical strength. Sure, we'll be in the weight room, we'll be running stairs, but we're also going to focus on developing mental toughness and grit, because those are the characteristics that allow us to achieve greatness both on and off the court. So, how do we develop those things? By getting comfortable with a challenge, by cultivating the confidence necessary to overcome adversity in all forms. That's why I coach. That's my purpose. Every member of this team can lean on me, and I'll teach them how they can lean on themselves and each other.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Unrelentlessly positive.
Innovative.
Innovative?
Innovative. Whatever.
It indicates. Indicative?
Hey, can we focus?
Moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
In your current job, or were you ever allowed to just yell at people? 844-967-2789. Was it appropriate or accepted or tolerated? Or was there just no ramifications if you ever just like cursed people out? 844-96-PARTY. Because I've never been cursed out at work. And I also sometimes feel like I may be in the minority. Because when I think about, you know, my husband who worked in an agency, we did not meet in LA, but when he first graduated college, he went out to LA.
Oh, he did?
Oh, yeah. He worked at Endeavor.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Which is like, was one of the top ages. Like I just love the story of like a Whitewater kid in LA, like peeing next to Bruce Willis and calling home and being like, guess what happened? But you know, and so he worked in an industry where people got screamed at. Girls, like the mailroom girls got barked at. Like, and it was, you know, there's just terrible stories out of Hollywood. I know in finance and investment bros and stuff, that the hazing that happens of you are new and the underling, and it's a stressful, high-stakes situation, and you just get screamed at. And in Congress, in politics, I think that flies too. And the most recent story, some people are very upset about it, and it's the story from last night, and certainly it makes this guy seem like, can we say, we play the song. So
oh, yeah.
He seems like this makes him look like a huge douche. But instead of clutching my pearls, I'm wondering, you know, when is it like, in what industries is it okay and there's no ramifications for yelling at interns and
colleagues
and entry level people? And when you were working, or if you are still working, is that tolerated? 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. And of course, we're talking about Derek Van Orden, who represents the 3rd Congressional District of Wisconsin. And news breaking last night that he apparently actually he's admitted that he did.
Oh, yeah, yes. And he has no problems with it.
He has no problem
with it.
Yelled at some Senate pages,
16 and 17 year olds.
And was potentially drunk while doing it. And that's the newest thing in the last 24 hours that some people are defending. What I love is that, like, Dan O'Donnell.
Oh, I know. I saw
State
that too.
Senator Patrick Testin is trying to defend the drinking aspect of it because this is Wisconsin. I was like, I don't think that's what people are upset about.
No, that's not what people are upset about.
But, Jane, have you ever worked in a scenario where it was just like there was no ramifications if someone just like cursed you out.
Oh, yes.
In radio?
Yeah. He threw a reel-to-reel at me once.
What is a reel-to-reel?
Big reel-to-reels that we used to run sound on tape reel-to-reels, big ones. Yeah, he threw one.
Did you dodge it?
Yeah, I dodged it.
You can dodge a ball. If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
I guess. And I remember one instance in particular where he followed our producer through the entire building, screaming the F word at him and telling him what an effing idiot he was.
And who was he? He was the boss.
No.
He was another
on-air talent.
And he was just allowed to do that because that's how talent was treated.
Well, that's how he was treated. Trust me, if I had done that, it would have been handled.
You would have been handled.
Oh, for sure. But no, he was allowed to do that.
Interesting. That's the only scenario?
Well, I mean, there were many more instances from this same person.
Okay. But like in no other like working environment where that was.
But I've always worked in radio.
Yeah.
So I don't have much else to compare it to.
Interesting. Well, we got one comment from Tony Zimmerman on the Facebook live stream. You are welcome to watch us on the Facebook live stream along with listen to us, which you can see on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter at As Goes Wisconsin. Tony says, in my factory jobs, it was okay. It wasn't encouraged, but people got it. In the office, no way. And so the question is, in your job or in former jobs, have you ever worked in a place where it was just okay to curse out, scream at, belittle, you know, kind of harass certain, like even if it was the boss or specifically
a colleague,
a high earner,
yep,
or someone who was very valuable to the company,
yep,
that was just their behavior was just tolerated. And we're talking about it because freshman Republican U.S. Representative Derek Van Orden yelled and cursed at a group of high school-aged Senate pages while giving a late-night tour of the U.S. Capitol on Wednesday, which, you know, both Chuck Schumer and Mitch McConnell, fresh off his Matrix glitch, both condemned this. And I'm not defending this, but it's also, I think, in history with, like, is it because it wasn't his interns? Like, if it was his interns, is he allowed to yell at them?
That's an interesting point.
Because every once in a while, I feel like we get stories, and it's usually about women, because it's like women candidates, but like, supposedly Katie Porter, not the best boss.
Who comes off as very sweet.
Does she? I don't think she comes off as sweet. I think she comes off as someone we want to root for whenever she is tearing apart someone in a congressional hearing because she's very good at it.
Yeah.
But in turn, because she's very good at it, I never mistook her for being a sweet person. I think it takes a certain amount of degaff to do what she does.
True.
That I wouldn't be surprised if it carries over. Like, you know, being her kids, like, I don't think her kids get away from with much.
No, I would agree with you.
But when Amy Klobuchar was running for president, that came out.
That's
as far
right.
as, like, her throwing stuff at her people who worked for her. I found some story, actually, and this was a, where was it? The worst boss. Now I can't find it. But it was an Indiana rep that I actually hadn't heard of before, but supposedly just, like, runs through staffers.
Oh, really?
Because she is such a nightmare. You know, and we can talk about whether or not there's, like, sexism wrapped into that we hear the stories of, like, women bad bosses versus male bad bosses. But, like, not granted these were candidates, but think about how many, I don't know. Like, it's interesting to me to think that this is news today. Nothing will happen. But I also don't think that this is, when you get into like high stakes industries, that there's more industries than not that it's still just okay to yell at people like that.
But I think, he's an elected official. And what happened to the whole character matters and character counts and morality and ethics? And, you know, it's just, I don't see how this is just, and again, they're teenagers.
Oh, I'm not, and I'm not defending
no,
him.
No, I know you're not.
But I also don't think he's alone. Alone. Like, there was a story, even with Biden, that actually I was sitting on, this was from earlier this month, that in public, like how President Biden, you know, whispers to make a point, but in private, like, he yells, supposedly. And that, like, he has a pretty quick Irish temper, and that aides try to avoid meeting alone with him.
Oh, wow.
And some take a colleague almost a shield against a solo blast. So there, this was one. The president's abominations include, I don't think I can say that, GD.
Yeah, don't say that.
How the F don't you know this? Don't effing BS me and get the F out of here.
Okay.
And so I'm just saying, and I'm not, I think it's all bad, but it also is certain industries where it's like, you get thick skin because this is how a lot of people talk to their staff. And is this just worse because it wasn't his staff? And there's like a hierarchy of like who you can yell at.
Who you can verbally abuse.
And it's like, you're a freshman, sir. You are a freshman member of the House. Do not be yelling. Like the Senate is very protective of their pages.
Right.
And so, but it just, I don't know. It just makes me interested in people who worked and tolerated getting yelled at and knew that that was just part of the job and what industry it was in. 844-967-2789.
I mean, what would happen in your workplace if someone would follow a colleague through the building swearing at them?
Yeah.
I just can't imagine that that would be acceptable in most places of employment.
I don't know.
Unless it's just so commonplace.
Like, is law like this?
Texter checking in from the 715. Representative Van Orden must always act in a professional manner, especially in the Capitol, because the Capitol is a place of business. Even before he was elected, he never represented Wisconsin values. Texter from Stevens Point and the 3rd District.
Well, and that's also what's coming out. So it's like, all right, so if we're talking specifically about this case and less about the question that I'm asking as far as, like, would this fly in your place of work? It's a little hypocritical because on the one hand, it's like you had no problem with what other insurrectionists were doing
right.
to the Capitol. Because he was basically, his defense is how upset he was that they would be lying down. It was how disrespectful it was to be lying down in the Capitol, which, you know, housed soldiers. I think he actually made the claim that there were soldiers buried there,
which
there
is
aren't.
No, that's not true.
But yeah. Simultaneously, then he was also, I mean, part of the reason why some people are defending him is because he was drinking with constituents in his office. So it's like, is laying down in the rotunda more disrespectful than like getting drunk in your office in the Capitol?
Is laying down in the rotunda worse than smearing feces on the walls? Which is what happened on January 6th.
Who has the time to just sit down and poop and then, you know, like that's like, you don't you get
a lot about timing?
Don't you get like a little performance anxiety? Like, I don't know. All right. We're going to come back in a minute, but we'd love to hear from you. 844-967-2789. What would happen in your place of work if someone just screamed at you and cursed you out or someone out? Is it tolerated? Would you get fired? I don't know. 844-967-2789. This is As Goes Wisconsin. You chuck it on that one. You chuck it on this one. You chuck it on your mother and you chuck it on your father. You chuck it on your brother and you chuck it on your sister. You chuck it on that one and you chuck it
on... When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing. Or your daughter's first birthday party. You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like our quinces. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council. This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. Starting at 6 a.m., The Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show. On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
Here's your updated forecast. Lows around 65, overnight under partly cloudy skies, winds out of the north, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Mainly clear skies and quiet tomorrow, highs around 82. Partly cloudy skies, tomorrow night lows level off around 63. Upper 70s, Saturday and Sunday, with a chance for scattered storms, Sunday. Another look at the short range, lows level off around 65 overnight, highs reach 82 tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 69.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Town Call. On WGBW.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. Bob and Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling us for Monday today, Bob.
Well, I think the insight of the day is that these electors were separate from the ones that are on the ballot. In other words, the legal electors, if Trump had actually been elected, did not participate in this. They got a different group of people, which kind of tells you right there they knew something was not quite right. And anyway, if you submit it to the National Archives, that's a fraud right there.
Well, here's the issue, Bob, though. In some states, you believe it or not, vote for the electors themselves, and their names usually are not well known. In this state, each side in advance designates electors who, if they win the popular vote, will cast the electoral votes. And they want to make sure it's not what's called a faithless elector. They want to make sure that it's somebody solid. So each side will pick somebody, like in this case, Biden won. And sometimes you don't even pick them till you won, and then you know what you want, and you're going to have people who are dyed-in-the-wool, loyal people. So if you're a Democrat, you're going to have a Democrat. Republicans, you're going to have Republicans. In this particular case, Biden won the election at the beginning of November, the first Tuesday in November, November 3rd. And then they met the second week in December. And it was very clear that Biden had won, and the Wisconsin Supreme Court said he won. 4-3, they said he won. So he picked 10 electors. And we had a call in from Bobby Green of Eau Claire, who shared that she had been an alternate elector. It's a great honor. You go down there, it's very, very historic. These other clowns on the Republican side met in secret. They met in secret. There were all sorts of communications. Don't tell anybody. Show up. Show up at this room. And they showed up, and nobody knew. And that thing was set up by Scott Fitzgerald and Voss. They knew what was going on. They knew what was going on. And then these 10 electors, one of them a former party chair, one of them a Republican on the Wisconsin Election Commission, one of them a some municipal office holder in De Pere, and then all of them somehow officers in the Republican Party, they met in silence to do their dirty work. And then they sent in certifications saying that they were the electors, and they were not. I want to get back to Trump, what's going on right now. He's in a federal courthouse in Washington, D.C., being arraigned. But there is something happening in the Mar-a-Lago case that I think probably is happening in this case, too. And it shows the extent that Trump will go to engineer a broad network to obstruct these criminal prosecutions. Jack Smith has just brought a motion in Mar-a-Lago for a hearing asking that Walt Nauta, that's Trump's co-defendant, that his lawyer be required to leave the representation of Nauta and get Nauta different counsel. Why is that? You remember Casey Hutchinson? She testified that she originally was given a Trump-paid or Trump-affiliate-paid lawyer who told her to have a bad memory, to told her not to remember stuff. That's unethical. And for a while, she didn't know. I mean, this guy's a lawyer. She got her own lawyer, and she gave magnificent and truthful testimony. Well, poor Walt Nauta is from Guam. He's a career steward in the Navy. I was in the Navy. You got to understand something about the Navy. Up through World War II, the steward rating were all African-Americans because they were the people that waited on the officers in the wardroom. They cooked the food, they served the food, they cleaned the cabins. It was racial. After World War II, when Truman integrated the armed forces, when I served in 1970 time period, the stewards were all Filipinos and some from Guam, like Walt Nauta. It was not truly integrated, the steward rating, until later in the 1970s, when anybody who goes to boot camp, that's what they want, they can go in and they can learn service and that kind of stuff. I can tell you that a career steward from the Philippines or Guam, the highest honor you could have would be to be a steward in the Admiral's wardroom. And it's a matter of unspeakable prestige to be a steward in the President of the United States wardroom, so to speak. He was brought to the White House. He will do anything to protect Trump. He had a life in Guam with no prospects, and now here he is. He's a little guy. This Oliveira guy was also a guy who started out low level and worked his way up. Trump is sacrificing these people. The guy that represents Walt Nauta represents seven other witnesses. That's wrong. That's wrong. If there's a trial and Walt Nauta's at the trial, this guy's supposed to cross-examine him on the behalf of his other clients? That's a conflict of interest. But unfortunately, Eileen Mercedes Cannon will do whatever Trump wants. She is the judge who's, in effect, an extra lawyer for Trump in the courtroom. If she does not throw out Nauta's lawyer, that has to be appealed to the Court of Appeals. You see what's happening? That's how it's going to get delayed beyond. There'll be a million of these kinds of things beyond the election. Now, what do we do about this? Trump turns and stabs anybody he needs to save himself. He stabbed Michael Cohen. He stabbed the CFO. Five of the six unindicted co-conspirators who may be indicted are lawyers. He's publicly blaming them. He says they're no good. He stabs them right in the back. Let them go to jail. They misled me. Nauta is a little guy from Guam. He was selected for the Admiral's wardroom. There is no higher honor. Believe me, there's no higher honor. And the Chief Admiral, who's the head of all the military, is the president. He was selected for the president's wardroom, and the president gave him a lawyer. He doesn't know. All he has to do, Walt Nauta, if you're listening to this, which you're not, get a different lawyer and go to the feds and tell them what happened, and you won't go to jail. But Donald Trump will stab you. He'll stab anybody and send them to jail. That's what's going on. And in my judgment, that could be going on in the Washington, D.C. prosecution. Keep an eye on this. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
Starting at 6 a.m., The Mayor and Mino.
Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show
on WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Mark Remillard. Former President Trump entering a not guilty plea as he was arraigned in a Washington, D.C. federal courtroom on charges over his attempts to overturn his 2020 election loss.
The former president was released on his own recognizance. He was told he must not violate any federal or state laws. While he's released, he must appear in court as required. And there's one other condition, that he must not communicate about the facts of the case with anyone that the former president knows to be a witness unless he's in the presence of an attorney. And it might be difficult for the former president to adhere to that. He may be on a debate stage with former Vice President Mike Pence.
ABC's Aaron Katursky. A federal appeals court allowing a rule restricting asylum at the southern border to temporarily stay in place. Both Tennessee Representatives Justin Pearson and Justin Jones, who were expelled from the state house earlier this year, have fully reclaimed their seats in special elections. This is ABC News.
She's the newest of seven elected Wisconsin Supreme Court justices. Janet Protasiewicz begins her 10-year term in August when she is sworn in. It's a longtime tradition which includes use of the court's seal created in 1848. But did you know it features the scales of justice, but not carried by a blindfolded Greek goddess? Instead, a hand holds the scales, representing justice is in human hands. It also means everything is official once the seal is stamped on any court documents. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr. Flowers, vegetables, and crab apples, some of the first Marathon County Fair attractions, and showed us proof those crops could grow there. Started in 1868 by the Agricultural Society, the Wisconsin Valley Fair in Wausau began as a place to buy and sell those types of goods. Today, it's considered one of the best in the state, featuring displays, demos, and big-name entertainment included with the price of your ticket. The Wisconsin Valley Fair runs August 1st to the 6th in Wausau. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Ball.
All right, folks, let's get started. Parents, thanks for coming. As many of you know, I'm Coach Mather. Tonight I want to talk about the season, of which I only have one expectation, that everybody gets stronger. When I say get stronger, I'm not referring solely to physical strength. Sure, we'll be in the weight room, we'll be running stairs, but we're also going to focus on developing mental toughness and grit. Because those are the characteristics that allow us to achieve greatness both on and off the court. So, how do we develop those things? By getting comfortable with a challenge. By cultivating the confidence necessary to overcome adversity in all forms. That's why I coach. That's my purpose. Every member of this team can lean on me. And I'll teach them how they can lean on themselves and each other.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
Woo-hoo! Starting at 6 AM, the Mayor and Mino.
Then at 8, the Earl Ingram Show.
10 to 12,
As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, the Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, the Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, the Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
The Todd Alba Show.
I see the silhouette of Todd Alba, who still hasn't figured out that maybe a TV person could help, you know, set this whole thing up.
For whatever reason, yeah. StreamYard's video is just deciding that the room is too bright.
When has Todd Alba been accused of being too bright? I mean, really there? I'm like, where's Aaron with the rim shot?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Some good news at the beginning. We have some freebies. We have some freebies again. So listen up. Colorado Rockies. The Milwaukee Brewers are playing the Colorado Rockies on Monday, coming Monday. First pitch at 7:10 p.m. First come, first served. Call 844-967-2789. It's going to be a great game, be a great evening. It's a great ballpark, and these are really great seats. You're going to feel like you're the catcher. You're going to feel like you're the catcher. Colorado Rockies, Monday, 7:10 p.m. Give a call. Remember something. Always remember this. You can listen live to Brewer games. Oshkosh Air Support, this is in the Fox Valley, but obviously you can go on the computer too. 98.3 FM and 1100 AM. And Richland Center, WRCE News from the center in Richland Center. 107.7 FM, 1450 AM. Monday, Colorado Rockies, 7:10 PM. Going to go to a slightly different topic, but it involves the Republican Party. Yesterday, we were just downgraded. Our rating, the U.S. government's rating, to AA from AAA. AA from AAA. It's only the second time in the history of the United States that that has happened. The last time is in 2011 when the Republicans shut the government down then too. The borrowing costs on your bonds, on your debt, when you go from AAA to AA, go way up. It cost us $1.5 billion, with a B, billion dollars, in higher borrowing costs back in 2011 because of the Republican shenanigans to shut us down. This time, that back and then, it was Standard & Poor's rating. This time, it's Fitch, the rating. Now, part of the thing that they said was, look, the Republicans can't agree on a debt deal. They can't agree on keeping the government open. They can't agree. And so, yes, you're the United States, but the truth of the matter is, if you can't pay your debts because of a party, that's too bad. The Republican Party will deliberately injure the United States if they think that will hurt Joe Biden and get them back in office so they can continue to hurt the United States and simply favor their donors. I don't know how many times I have to say that. September 30 is the end of the fiscal year. They have already said, something like 70 of them, that they won't vote for any more money, until, first of all, Biden agrees to tear up the deal that he made with McCarthy about extending the debt limit. That's already in. He already signed it. B, that there is an impeachment vote on Biden, and C, that the White House cooperate in its own the investigation of it. Marjorie Taylor Greene, as a result now of the Trump indictment, Marjorie Taylor Greene has said that she will vote against any funding for the U.S. government. It's a line in the sand, she said. Others said we at least have to defund Jack Smith, the Department of Justice, and the FBI. Do you remember how many billions of dollars it will cost, this reduction now, because our amount of debt is higher? How many billions of dollars because the Republican Party wants to injure Joe Biden and the Democratic Party? This is disgusting. This is treason. We're going to go to the lines, and then we're going to talk about this some more. The Republicans have found a way to injure the country, and they think they can get their way simply by not voting for any money. Jack of Merrimack, my friend, thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Jack?
Yeah, given their approach to the FBI and some of the other agencies, they've obviously got this defund the police thing down pat. More seriously, I think what this is all about is the economy is just going forward great guns. You know, there was a slight change in the unemployment situation, but it wasn't really significant. They've been saying almost since Biden got into office, the economy's terrible, Democrats are responsible, the economy's terrible, and so on and so on. And the economy just keeps going better and better. According to articles I've read, the chances of a recession are dropping farther and farther off. What this is about is we're going to ruin the economy, and then we're going to say, oh, it's Biden's economy. And that, I think, is the whole thing. They don't really have anything else to run on.
I think you're right. I think you're exactly right. And one of the things I want to emphasize to everybody, right now, inflation is coming down so quickly that a lot of the financial firms that look at this are predicting the soft landing that Bidenomics predicted. Number two, the hard infrastructure and the soft infrastructure acts worked. They put people back to work. Number three, unemployment is down to its lowest level since 1969. The stock market's going great. The S&P has gone up the index for 5 months. I had callers, you may remember this, say, well, the economics, they don't know anything about economics. They're told that as a talking point by the Republican Party. I think Jack of Merrimack is exactly correct. It turns out they were wrong. They have no platform themselves. The Republican Party has no platform itself. Mitch McConnell said, all you do when you have a platform is you give other people a target. They have no plan. They have no plan. Now, one of the reasons why they think this will be effective to just shut the government down. It was shut down before. It was shut down around 2011. They did it to Obama. You may recall that Newt Gingrich did it back in the 90s. And we didn't get a bond rating reduction at that point. But one year, it cost us a total of $25 billion because Ted Cruz was one of the engineers. They went too far. People were being laid off in the federal government, and they got too much heat. What political party deliberately damages their country while we are standing up to the Russians by backing Ukraine, standing up to the Chinese by backing Japan, South Korea, Vietnam, the Philippines, and Australia? This sends a message of treason, of weakness to our enemies, our adversaries. This tells them that there are a lot of people in the Congress who, wink, wink, will hurt the United States because the president and the majority in the Senate, who vote in the majority in the Senate, are of the other party. What can be done? Let me quick talk about the House, and then I'll quick talk about the Senate. In the House, Kevin McCarthy completely controls what can be put up to a vote, with one exception. And he's been threatened by all these people, Marjorie Taylor Greene. We have to blow up the debt deal. We have to defund the FBI, impeach Biden. It looks like he's caving on impeaching Biden. And so, or it's not going to go anywhere, but I mean, he's going to let it be voted on. So how do you get around that? How do you get around that? You get around it by a discharge petition, it's called. You have 213 Democratic votes. It needs 5 Republican votes. Are there 5 Republicans out there who are Americans? Are there 5 of my fellow veterans out there who are Republicans, who believe in the United States, standing up to the Ruskies, to the Chaikoms? Are there 5 of them who will not commit treason? And let them come forward and vote for a discharge petition on the money needed to run the government, and then vote for it when it's on the floor. I'll talk about the Senate, but we're going to go to the lines right now. Northwoods Terry, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Terry?
I think I stumbled across some information the other day, Matt, about how the white male voted last time in the 2020. I think I saw 70% of the white male voted for Trump. That's very disturbing to me because I'm a white male. Very disturbing. I have to talk about fluff when I talk to these guys because they certainly don't know nothing. In other words, I got to talk about Brewer baseball or cars or something.
Well, I'll tell you something, Terry. Let me be blunt. I don't believe in identity politics. I really don't. And, you know, there's this identity politics cult in the Democratic Party, which I don't like at all. The identity politics cult of the Islamo left. But the MAGA cult, the Freedom Caucus, out to destroy democracy, are the primary enemies of the United States. And it's like in the Second World War, there are plenty of partisans in Czechoslovakia, Poland, and France. And the Nazis were coming in. At that point, among the partisans in Czechoslovakia, Poland, and France, they were all over the lot. Some were socialists, some were communists, some were Christian Democrats. They didn't turn on each other. They took their weapons and they trained them on the swastika. That's what we're doing now. When this thing clears and there's some sanity left in the country, this identity politics stuff I don't go for, I got to tell you. So in terms of who voted for what, yeah, I've seen all the pollsters. They say, well, this one gets more of this votes and that more. Let me tell you something. Jimmy Carter got plenty of votes. Bill Clinton got plenty of votes. Barack Obama got plenty of votes. Certainly Jack Kennedy got plenty of votes. You put up the right people, they get plenty of votes. So, but, you know, there you have it, my friend. There you have it. Now let's get quick to the Senate. The Senate has done something that I believe is unconstitutional. through rules, R-U-L-E-S, not legislation. They have given license to individual senators or a few senators to shut down the government. That is unconstitutional. There's nothing in the Constitution that says they can do that. It's supposed to be majority vote. What is the example? Tommy Tuberville. He has stuck the knife in 250 flag officers, admirals and generals. By the end of the year, it'll be 650. He won't promote them. He'll cut the head off our military. And the clowns, every clown in the Senate says, well, that's his right. No, it's not his right. He should be in jail. It's not his right. They do it out of vanity and pride because they all like boasting that they're in the most exclusive club in the world. The same with money. If you get five loyal Republicans, veterans, who vote to fund the government, that bill has to go to the Senate. That will be filibustered by Moscow Mitch and the rabble that he represents. Then it supposedly requires 60 votes to pass and get to Biden. Why the hell should that happen? That isn't what the Constitution says. The Constitution says majority rule. But because the Senate think they're the House of Lords, they all stand there and say some white supremacist from Alabama named Tommy Tuberville can cut the head off a military. What the hell? And 10 clowns, not 10 clowns, the clowns in the Republican caucus can shut down the government. I want some patriots in that Congress. I don't care what party they are. I'm a Democrat. Right now, they're largely Democrats. I want that funding bill to get out to the floor in the House to vote. I want the clown Tuberville, preferably in jail. But the clown Tuberville, who didn't serve, a chicken hawk, cannot be permitted to cut off the head of our military. And the clown Moscow Mitch cannot be permitted to filibuster money for our government. Majority rules. And the fact that we have traitors in the Republican caucus is the treason caucus, that should not be permitted to prevail. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Call your local Bug Tussle rep today to find out how you can get free internet service. You heard that right, free internet. Call today before this deal ends. For Shawano and Oconee counties, call Amanda at 920-600-4760. That's 920-600-4760. And for Brown, Manitowoc, and Kewaunee counties, call Scott at 920-530-1311. 920-530-1311.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app. Protect your family from radon. Radon causes lung cancer, and half the homes in Green Bay test high. Request a free test kit at newradon.com. That's newradon.com. It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Kroot. Weekdays from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast. Partly cloudy skies overnight with lows around 65.
winds out of the north, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Mainly clear sky tomorrow, 82. Partly cloudy tomorrow night, lows level off around 63. Upper 70s, Saturday and Sunday, with a chance for scattered storms. Sunday, once again, lows level off around 65 overnight. Highs reach 82 tomorrow, lows level off around 63 tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 69.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct on WGBW.
Don't let me down. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Going back to the lines. Mike from Milwaukee, my friend. Thanks for calling. Mike, what's in your mind today?
Hi, Matt. Love your show. I've seen several clips on Fox News and heard a lot of jabbering on right-wing talk radio about that Trump can say whatever he wants regarding his attempt to undermine our democracy because of free speech. I just want to know your thoughts on that. I'll hang up and listen to your answer. Thank you.
Right. That's overstated. And a lot of times you'll see some people who are actually sympathetic to the Democratic Party just swallow the Kool-Aid and they'll go, well, he can say whatever he wants, even if he's lying. But if it turns into action, then no. And if he has advice of counsel, then he gets off. That's all baloney. Here's the deal. Even if you say certain things, if you threaten the life of the president of the United States, that's a felony. You don't have a First Amendment right to do that. If you go to a movie theater sometime and yell, fire, fire, and everybody goes out and somebody's, you don't have the right to do that. Now, in this particular case, if he gets up and he says, you know, like, I was robbed. Use your good eye, ump. I was robbed. I was cheated. Yeah, he can say that. But that isn't what he did. He, in addition to that, put together a course of action. And when there are acts committed, in this case, setting up the fake electors in all the states, calling Raffensperger and say, I need 11,000 votes or whatever it was. He's quoted as saying, telling Mike Pence, when Pence said, I can't do what you want. And he said, you're too honest. Yeah, that's not just speech. It's not protected speech. And the fact of advice of counsel, hey, the five crooks that you co-indicted with me, the five unindicted conspirators, they told, I was misled. I'm just little Bo Peep. I'm just a babe in the woods. That's baloney too. But advice of counsel doesn't do it. Let me tell you something. I've said this before. The 1880s, a guy from Pakistan went to London, England with his wife, and he killed her because she disobeyed him on something. They arrested him. He goes, well, under, you know, my law in Pakistan, you know, lawyers tell me that that is permissible. And they went, well, it's not permissible here. And they hanged him. So if you have a crooked lawyer who says, yeah, you go ahead and rob the bank. That's not a defense. That's not a defense. Where that comes in is in securities fraud and some other things, where there's a statutory interpretation, and if the judge thinks that's in good faith, and the lawyer made a mistake, he may decide, as a matter of prosecutorial discretion, not to permit the prosecutor to go forward. But this business, well, you have to show criminal intent. Hey, you stick a knife in somebody, you're presumed to have criminal intent. This guy drips criminal contempt. He drips criminal. He drips criminal. I don't buy any of it. And the other thing is, he has to testify to say he thought it was legal. He can't have his lawyer just say it's legal. The judge has an instruction that says nothing the lawyer says to you is evidence. On either side, nothing the lawyers say to you is evidence. If he says it's legal or not legal, let's hear it from the lips of the guy that did the crime. If he gets on the stand to say that, he will be cross-examined, and he will wish he never did. Excellent call. Thanks for calling. Jeff of Menominee Falls, thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Jeff?
Yeah, hey, about your analogy about the guy from Pakistan that you just gave,
Okay. So you said that the in your example, as counsel said, it's okay in Pakistan, and then you compared that to Trump. Trump's lawyer giving advice, and you know you can't break the law based on advice. Except you're incorrect about part of that, in that that was Pakistan. This is the United States. So it falls under the where you're at, not what the counsel said.
Okay, Jeff, he had five crooked, unindicted co-conspirators who were lawyers. Giuliani, Sidney Powell, Cheesebro, Eastman, and there was one other. Five crooks. He is now saying, these crooks, I thought these were paragons of virtue. These crooks said I could do it. Say you do what? Then why did you tell Pence you're too honest? Why'd you say that? Why did you call these people up? Why did you tell the Justice Department, just say there was fraud and then leave the rest up to me and the Republicans, who are crooks themselves? You think that is advice of counsel? That's not advice of counsel. That's not advice of counsel. Advice of a crooked lawyer is not advice of counsel, and here is the reason. There is a fraud exception. As you know, I assume you know, you read about it. If your lawyer is a crook and he's in on it, which these guys were, you don't even have an attorney-client privilege. They can ask and you can be required to tell. They can be asked and you can are required to say what advice they gave you. It's not attorney-client if the lawyer's a crook. So thanks for calling in, Jeff, but that dog don't hunt. That dog do not hunt. And we're not having any of that. And the final thing I will leave with you is that the fact of the matter is that Trump can't get that into evidence unless he testifies, and then he is a dead man. He will be a piñata. One thing that I want to say, and we've said it, and I'm going to keep saying it, and I'm very excited. Civic Media's WRJN in Racine and Kenosha will broadcast every Packer game all season long. That is advertising gold. Any small business or anybody wants to advertise, you want ears on radio to listen to your advertisement, you want Packers. You want Packers. The Civic Media marketing team is ready to talk to you. There are a few sponsorships left. Call 608-819-8255. They can also get you into UW Badger games, Wisconsin Badgers, local high schools, depending on your market. That is where you get a lot of listeners. But above them all, the 800-pound gorilla, the King Kahuna of the Green Bay Packers. And we have landed. Civic Media, WRJN in Racine and Kenosha, broadcasts every game all season long. So jump on it, because I'll tell you what, if you try to advertise in the Packers and a lot of other places, it's going to be exponentially more expensive. It's an exciting opportunity. 608-819-8255. Coming to the end of the show. Great show. Great callers, as always. Stand by for another great show. Diamond Crew, Devil's Advocates. Matt Flynn, Direct, will be back same time, same place tomorrow. I'm signing off for today.
The newest of seven elected Wisconsin Supreme Court justices. Janet Protasiewicz begins her 10-year term in August when she is sworn in. It's a longtime tradition which includes use of the court's seal created in 1848. But did you know it features the scales of justice, but not carried by a blindfolded Greek goddess? Instead, a hand holds the scales, representing justice is in human hands. It also means everything is official once the seal is stamped on any court documents. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
flowers, vegetables, and crab apples, some of the first Marathon County Fair attractions, and showed us proof those crops could grow there. Started in 1868 by the Agricultural Society, the Wisconsin Valley Fair in Wausau began as a place to buy and sell those types of goods. Today, it's considered one of the best in the state, featuring displays, demos, and big-name entertainment included with the price of your ticket. The Wisconsin Valley Fair runs August 1st to the 6th in Wausau. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.